everybody. Welcome to Marooncast, where we talk about design, lifestyle, and entrepreneurship. I am Hector Real, along with Ben Wetzel.
Hello.
We are professional designers with 20 years of experience. We aim to help you be more successful in your creative endeavors. Hey, Ben.
Yo.
What's going on?
Not much.
Thinking
about my AMC subscription again. Thinking about what I'm going to do to make its money work for me.
What's an AMC subscription?
We talked about this a few weeks ago.
Did I ask you what it was then also?
Yes.
Obviously, I don't care.
Basically, I have a movie pass that's not a movie pass.
Oh.
To make it quick.
Okay, then I definitely don't care.
Yeah. I like movies. You kind of.
I kind of like certain movies, but I'm not really a movie guy, I shouldn't say. So people ask me all the time, especially not people, but like women I go on dates with. They ask me, do you watch movies? And I say, what's AMC?
You mean it's like TMC, Turner Classic Movies on the television?
Oh, so that's not like Pornhub?
Wait, what?
I don't know.
How does that get to Pornhub?
I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
I like how you know exactly what the format of Pornhub is. And I say that like I don't know what the format is.
Uh-oh.
This has become a rated R. NC-17 podcast.
Inappropriate for younger viewers.
I mean, we're all mostly adults here.
Mostly.
I mean, we're adults, but we probably act like idiots.
Yeah.
By idiots, I mean, you know, not smart.
Yeah. I've also been doing a lot of just messing around in Illustrator. So,
Pornhub?
No.
Oh. I thought that's where this was going.
No, Illustrator, like Adobe Illustrator.
Why are you turning red, Ben?
This has nothing to do with pornographic
are you
content.
Sure?
Yes, I swear.
Okay, so you say that on the podcast now. This has nothing to do with pornographic content, but on our personal conversation before we go on air.
Wait, what? Now you're just making shit up.
You're all about the hub, as you like to call it.
That's messed up. That's not accurate at all.
Really? Because
if anything,
I feel like most people are all about the hub.
I guess it's probably like,
so which means that you're lying.
I mean the internet is readily available for everybody. They can do whatever they want with it.
Well, maybe not North Korea
or China.
I wonder what it's called then. Dude, they have to have something.
It's just called Google censored. This has been censored.
All right. Well, thanks for that. Thanks for that subject, Ben.
I was trying to talk about graphic design. I've been doing graphic design and Illustrator just for my own fun, and it's been a lot of fun. The Pantone website, actually.
Oh yeah.
I feel like their website just keeps getting better and better, and it's kind of fun, you know, coming up with some colors and then going into Pantone and kind of like, not, I mean, fact checking isn't really the right way to say it, but that's the best way I can think of. And I try to find like
referencing.
It's like I've made this color and then I try to go find a color that could be readily available for like printing, you know, and it's kind of cool to like come really close to something and then move forward from there.
Oh, okay. So that's www.pantonehub.
Yeah, pantonehub.com.
Could you check to see if that's available? Because I'm totally going to buy that.
Pantone's probably pretty upset with us right now.
It's all in, I don't, it's I don't all think in I wanna adult
put,
fun.
I don't think I want to put that in my phone.
Right when you have your phone in your hand,
yeah,
typing it halfway through.
I was about to type it in, and then I was like, no, you know what? I'm going to stop.
That's all I'm saying. Well, there goes for the shooting the shit part of our podcast.
Pornhub should pay us for that 4 minutes of advertising.
Like they freaking need it.
I know, they don't.
Have you seen, and I can't even believe, it seemed real enough, but they were in the news a couple months ago, or I think they have or have had advertising at Times Square.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's fake or not. If you know the
like
truth, let us know.
The big digital board? Really? Wow.
I mean, but it wasn't super graphic or anything like that.
I imagine
you knew what the logo is, and I know what the logo is, it's like an image, but it wasn't in your face. like it would only make sense if you knew, and a lot of adults were snickering at it, maybe a couple kids.
You see like a yellow color and like a square and you're like,
Really, Ben? You've thought about this a lot.
I'm just trying to think of how they get away with it without it literally saying the word porn, like in giant letters.
It literally wasn't like anything. It was basic. God, I'm trying to remember in my head. From what I can just pull from my memory right now is that it's a black and white photo. It's almost like it has this, it's not the same context or rather same imagery, but it kind of has that same feel as like 50 Shades of Grey type of like their advertising.
Okay.
It's like, it's black and white and at the bottom it says Pornhub.
Hmm. Okay.
So I hope it's true, but it was on the internets.
So it could have been Photoshopped.
Could have, but I'm 75% sure it's true. So
yeah.
Yeah. If you know anything about that, leave a comment.
That would
on
be.
Ben's Facebook page. On Ben's Instagram page.
No, please don't.
Okay, well, I guess we should be talking about design and creative stuff.
I was trying to when I was talking about color theory and graphic design.
You're like
trying to steer it in that direction desperately.
I'm a professional, ladies and gentlemen. I own a business. Okay, so we're back to design. Today's show is going to be about the design process. And this is kind of the overview of a design process. It's essentially talking about the formula. It's going to be different for different companies, different clients, but essentially the basis of it is what we're going to be talking about today, meaning the formula.
Yeah. So like earlier we had actually a podcast about the proposal. So this is essentially what happens after your proposal has been accepted by your client.
Right.
You've written up a nice proposal. You've come up with the numbers of how much you're going to get paid. You've already gotten that 50 or 30% down. Right. That money is officially in the bank. And now it's actually time to start following through with what you promised.
Right.
Yeah.
So basically what's going to happen if most of the requests or projects are going to start off with like, hey, we're going to design a product and we have all the internals. We just need you to develop it's going to be called a solution. Essentially what they mean is that they're looking for a design solution for this product. Let's call it a smartphone, or rather let's call it a smartwatch. How about that?
Sure.
So they're going to say, look, we've got all the internals. We have all the programming, all the software. We've got all the PCBs, all that's good to go, but we don't have a look and feel of a product. So they're going to say, we want something that looks one way or the other. Generally, they'll say, a lot of times, honestly, they'll say, we'll kind of want it to look like an Apple product.
Mm-hmm.
While that is usually a safe bet to do it, it's because it's trendy and everybody gets it, because Apple has done all the hard work into teaching people about what their product is about, and everybody has one, so everybody gets it. I wouldn't say copy it or anything like that, but if it has kind of that air about it, people understand it, because design is a language after all.
Sure.
So they're going to say something like, hey, we kind of want it to look like an iWatch or whatever. Sometimes they'll say, hey, we want it to look like the Samsung product.
Yeah, the Samsung, I actually saw it in Target the other day, at least one of the more recent iterations. And it honestly looks like an old-timey, simplistic, circular watch.
Right.
It's just, it's completely...
Old-timey.
Well...
Nicely done.
I don't really know what else to call it.
Pun somewhat intended.
Because it has like a leather. Oh, yeah. I'm a poet and ooh. I don't even know it.
I like how you got it in mid-sentence.
Yeah. I'm so slow.
Oh, but when we were talking about Pornhub, you were real fast.
What the fuck? But I don't know. Samsung really seems to be sort of shooting for a different feel, because it was a very clean circular thing, and then it has it seems like the stock is leather. Yep. As opposed to like Apple's is like the sort of silicone based one,
right?
That's sort of like the standard one. And it it is, when it's in its off state, it's kind of like an Apple Watch. Like, there's nothing going on. It's just a black piece of glass. And then when you touch it, it, I mean, obviously it has like digital options, but it looked like by default, it has the two arms and the second arm just turning. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if they're going to ask you to design a project, they're always going to say those things.
Yeah.
Apple, Samsung, the big guys. And, you know, I wouldn't say, hey, everybody does that. I don't want to do that. That's not a thing that you would, you should be saying to a client. Even if that's how you feel, but remember, as a designer, you're not necessarily always designing for yourself. What you like, and as a designer, you might be more refined in your tastes about what you might like, or maybe even more specific about what you like in terms of design. I like very specific things. Like, I don't like smartwatches. I mean, I like them as a product, but I would never buy one. They're awesome. I just don't like getting texts on my wrists. And I have an affinity for classic, well-engineered analog watches. I like those things. So that's what I like to wear. Your Tag Heuers and, you know, Porsche design or Movado watch. You know, really nice classic watches. And, you know, when you're developing a solution for somebody, you want to take all those into consideration. Like, you want to basically research products. You take your Apple product, you take your Samsung product, and then you take your Tag Heuers, your Rolex, your Breitlings. You take all those watches and you pick off little details from either one. So Breitling is a really, they have really, really intricate metalwork.
What are they called?
Breitling?
Breitling?
Breitlings. They're very expensive watches. I think they're aviation-based watches. So they have a lot of information on the watch. It's not just, hey, I'm going to tell time. Movado is very, it's very designery, very minimalistic. So essentially, it's just a black circle face with a giant diamond at the 12 o'clock mark. And that's it. You're going to have to be able to tell time. I'm not good at telling time that way. So I would never wear but I'd never be able to tell time with a Movado.
I gotcha.
So are you looking at Movados on your iPhone?
I am, in fact, looking at them. Yeah, so there's like a big, big circle at the top. This actually reminds me a lot of what the Samsung watch looks like.
When it's off?
Yeah, yeah. When it's off, it's like very simple.
Right.
Very simple.
Yeah, so basically you take all these watches, and as your research, if you could see them in person, it'd be great. But you take the Apple Watch and you basically determine what makes it an Apple? What makes it something that people can easily digest as a design? What makes Samsung do this? What is the formula for the Movado? And what is the formula for, Tag Heuers or Porsche design or whatever watch you like?
What was that other one? Tag Warriors?
Tag Heuer?
Oh,
Tag.
Not Tag Warrior.
Tag Warrior.
I'm like thinking people out doing graffiti on like cars and stuff.
A little bit different.
How is it spelled?
T-A-G H-U-E-U-E-R.
Oh, this is like another high-end.
Yeah, I might have spelled that wrong, but it's another high-end watch. It's one of my favorite watches.
Okay. I think I found it. Yep.
Yeah.
Tag. Yeah. Good Lord.
Yeah.
These things look complicated.
Yeah. And they're more of like a motorsport-based type of branding. So, and I like Formula One, so I've got the Formula One Tag.
They look very racy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look
versus the Breitling, that's very aviation-based.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. So, and they're all like, their branding is super awesome. So if you have a chance to study their branding on the watches, it's great. But my point is that if you're going to design a watch, it's nice to research other watches, but more importantly, it's nice to research things that aren't watches. So when we design cars, because I'm a car designer by professional trade, is that it helps to do research on things that aren't cars. Because if you're designing a car and you research other cars, then your car is just going to look like the other car.
Yep.
So take that into consideration. So for me, I like designing cars based on products. I like designing cars based on furniture. And a lot of times I like designing cars based on fashion. Like, what materials are they using? So, you know, you don't just research other competitors. That's part of the research, but that's not the only part. In fact, I would say make 30% of your research competitor items of the same product and make 70% of it other things. Like I said, really expensive furniture, you know, fashion. Fashion has really great materials, especially in the leather goods part. Honestly, I like researching, I like going to REI. And I think I've said this before. I like going to REI because a lot of the sports equipment, especially skis and hiking equipment, if you pay attention to the engineering that they put into these equipment, it's awesome.
Hmm.
So, and maybe I'll do an episode on that. We'll just all go to REI and talk about stuff in REI. But, you know, that's part of the research. The other part of the research, and this is you trying to come up with a design solution for your client, right?
Right.
The other part of the design solution is, other part of the research is, who are you designing this for? And it's what we've all learned. It's a target market. But sometimes be aware that your client may or may not know who their target market is. It could be an engineering firm. And this has happened a lot to us.
Yes.
Is basically, hey, who are you targeting? And they're going to say everybody.
Which is crazy and doesn't actually mean anything.
Right, exactly. And that means that they don't know what a target market is.
Yeah.
Not that we're not targeting everybody per se, except that, you know, that's going to happen via trickle-down effect. Yeah. We're going to target the people who will be most interested in this product.
Right.
So, you know, your other research is to figure out who's going to buy it, what they do for a living. So when I do my research part of my presentation, let's say this watch, right? Okay, well, maybe it's a watch that you're building for professionals. Okay, fine, professionals. So which means that you're not going to be looking for like something that's, you know, coated in rubber. You know, it's not going to be overly thick. So you might want something a little more sleek, a little bit more minimalistic, and you would look for products like this. So if you look for minimalistic furniture or minimalistic products, Bang & Olufsen is actually a really good example. If you look at Bang & Olufsen and the way they do minimalistic designs for consumer electronic products, it's really great. So that's a really good design language to know and have in your toolbox. Use them as reference. So let's say, okay, well, this person, you're developing a watch for this person who's probably a businessman, who's probably professional, which means that this person could probably afford to buy products from Bang & Olufsen.
Right.
Which means that this person would probably like things from Bang & Olufsen. So maybe this person also likes, you know, your target market. Let's say they're in their late 20s to early 30s and they have a really nice car. Or they can afford to get a real nice car. Maybe they drive an Audi. So what would happen if you take Bang & Olufsen and an Audi and mash them together? What kind of watch would that look? So that's part of the research. That's so, you know, to kind of reiterate is that if you're developing a product, you find the competitors, but you also look at other products and other materials. And then you put that all together and then you figure out who the target market is. And once you figure out the target market, what do they do for a living? Businessman. What kind of car do you think they'll drive? Probably something relatively expensive, you know, a really nice Audi. Maybe they're wearing a suit all the time. And they might like minimalistic things like Bang & Olufsen. And you mash all that together, and then that's the basis for your first sets of ideation.
Right.
So if you've got all this information down about this person now, you know this person, you know this person's lifestyle, you know what this person likes as a target market. now you can determine what kind of watch that you can design that this person would like. It might not be anything that you would like. You might like rugged things, but you're not the market.
Right.
As a designer, you have to separate yourself and say, okay, I may not be the market, but if I were to step in this target market personality shoes, what would I like?
Yeah, that's definitely something that you're going to have to learn, is to be able to be versatile. You know, it's not, again, like you said earlier, it's not about what you want. It's about what you're trying to accomplish.
Right. And you hit that target market. And if you hit that target market correctly, your client will like your design. And this can all be done through imagery. So you'll do, a lot of people do mood boards, is what they call it in the fashion and graphic industry. For us in the industrial design industry, we just refer to it as marketing boards. Yeah, but it's the same thing, essentially. You've got imagery of how, you know, this guy might look like, the kind of suits this guy might wear, cars and whatever. And you put that on your presentation deck. So, then you go through your ideation phase. Essentially, the way I do my ideation is that I start with thumbnail sketches. So I'd probably fill up a whole page of like 8.5 by 11 of, you know, watch shapes that'll probably fill, you know, several pages of it. And you would have just a bunch of different shapes of the kind of watches. And at first, you're going to start with shapes that come to your head. And that's fine. But also, in addition to that, you're going to have to be researching other watch shapes. You know, you don't have all the answers all stored in your head. You're going to have to find what everybody in the creative industry will always refer to as inspiration. And we've used that word so many times, but I think some people have forgotten what that meant. So if you're looking for watch shapes, watch faces, you're going to come up with your circles or squares or squircles and rectangles and all kinds of things. And then you have to kind of veer off from that and say, okay, what other shapes can I make? Now, if you're into analog watches, I think it might be the DuPont registry, but for watches, they're gonna have a lot of really expensive, like $100,000 watches, and they're not the same shape as a normal watch you'd expect it to be. Some of them look like barrels, and they have numbers that rotate on an x-axis. So, you know, they have tourbillons and a lot of different things. So take all that into consideration. You go from like what you might think watch shapes might be. And then you might go to another page of like, what ridiculous watch shapes could you come up with? And then look around. Hey, I'm looking at this, kind of souvenir that I got from an island that I went to last month, or rather a month and a half ago. And it's in the shape of a seashell. Well, you could make a watch in the shape of a seashell. I'm literally just looking in front of my face, and I'm just looking around.
Right.
So do things that you would not normally find on the market, because those are always fun. Okay, so now you've got your ideation going on. You're putting things together. Then after the ideation phase, you're going to take all these ideations and refine it into your design direction. So after you've taken this ideation, you've narrowed it down to, let's say, we do about 3 to 6 ideation designs. Essentially, 3 to 6 designs, not fully refined, but it's a direction that we're going towards.
And sometimes we'll add like a variant to one or two of them.
Right. A color variant or a material variant,
yeah.
You know, or whatever. And at this point is generally where we would have meetings with the client. Here's what we're thinking. Which of these 6 designs, which of these 6 directions would you like us to go? A lot of times the client won't know. They'll defer to you. So always be prepared and have a recommendation. So a lot of times I'll say, look, here's what you're asking for. Here's what we made. But I suggest you go in design 5's direction. Honestly, 90% of the time, they'll say, yeah, we totally agree with you.
Right.
So always have a recommendation. Okay, so now that you've gotten design direction taken care of, and these are like, you know, rendered pieces. It might not be photographic, but you know, you can understand what these designs look like. So they'll say, you know, pick design number 5 or whatever. And then you go into a final phase of design. And what that is that you'll take design 5, and sometimes they'll say, hey, we like parts of design 3 too, and you'll put them into design 5, and you'll basically work towards a final design.
Yep.
And when that final design is done, you come back to the client and you present, look, here's what we talked about. Here's the final design. And even then, you might still have 2 or 3 variants of the same design.
Right.
Colors, material, and whatever. And then the design, or rather the client, will pick one of those 3 variants.
Yeah.
And then after that, if they approve that, they'll go into prototyping, which is a completely different side of the design business that we're not going to get into today. But essentially, that should cover the entire presentation deck of a singular design.
Yeah, for sure. I think sometimes variants will even have, like, not a major feature, but sometimes there's a small feature that is either absent or present in some of the variants. I know that's something that we've done in the past.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be, like, a major thing. It should be, like, simplistic things, like what you were talking about.
Right.
Colors, materials, sometimes, like, maybe a little accent somewhere.
Right.
But it should never be, like, a major part of the object.
Yeah, and sometimes it's you also have to remember that when you do the final design, I prefer to have them be as tight of a design as possible, meaning as tight renderings as possible, because a lot of times the people who are looking at are executives, they're not designers, so they don't understand sketches as well as you do.
Yeah, for sure. Your final thing should look, you know, if you're not going to be rendering it in Photoshop or Illustrator, you should be making a mock-up in a 3D file and either using whatever software you have or KeyShot to render it to make it look like it's a real thing.
Right.
At least in the watch's sense. If you're doing like graphic design logo variants, then, you know, as long as you have a finalized quality looking graphic, you're good to go.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, you're right. That's actually a good point. This is kind of more towards the industrial design, product design, automotive design type of presentation, but you could use the same formula to go about with illustration or graphic design. It might not be exactly the same. You may not have as many steps as you would for industrial design.
Probably not.
Yeah, but the formula is similar.
Right.
You know, there is a research phase, ideation phase, direction, and then final design.
Yeah.
And then prototyping. So
I think for graphic design, something I've seen a lot and I've started to practice a little bit myself, it's a lot of fun, is if you mock it on something. So like if you finished your logo for this business, Photoshop it onto like a notebook so that it looks like they now have a branded notebook. And that might help convey to your executives, like, now not only do they see their new logo, but they're actually thinking about what it'll look like on various things that they might buy for their office.
Right.
And that's something to kind of get their gears turning a little bit.
Yeah. And if you do find a product that you think that they might develop or thinking about developing or might suit them as a company, absolutely, if they don't already have a product of their own.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, that's essentially the formula for a design deck.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, it could get more complicated than that, depending on the product. There could be engineering, and sometimes you will be so deep and trusted by a client that they'll ask for your opinion, even in the user interface, or sometimes it's helping them build a PCB, but helping them determine what size PCB that can be used.
Sure.
What size fasteners can be used. You know, they'll ask you technical things that you may or may not be an expert on, but do understand that they will ask you these questions. So it's good to be kind of rounded with information that you have. So if you know you're going to work for this company, do some reading, do some light research on what kind of company they are and what products they've made and have succeeded in.
Yeah. And I would say, depending on the company, if they're a young company or a company that is trying to do something new, you may have to do a lot more research than you expect. Yep. You may actually have to go and find websites that talk about, you know, purchasing behavior and what is selling at what month and what year and what sells better than something else. So you might actually have to take a deep dive into research and help someone come up with a core demographic. That's happened to us before.
Yep.
And you just might want to be prepared to be able to do that.
And, you know, and you remind me of something is that sometimes they'll say, okay, well, this is our demographic. And they're completely wrong.
Yeah, you might be also be ready to tell them that they might not be going in the right direction.
Yeah, and usually it's not that simple to detect something like that.
No.
Usually the way that I've been able to determine, or at least suggest that maybe they should look at a different demographic, is that we'll have a project and they'll ask them for the demographic and they'll say, we think we're going to hit this market. And then, you know, just because I'm working on other stuff for them and their presentation, I have privy access to their presentations, and I'll say something like, well, based on your business plan for the brand and the business, maybe I wouldn't say don't look at this market. I'll say maybe you should take a look at this market too. And that's based on my experience being in the business for such a long time, is that I can make this determination. And you may or may not be able to do that if you're new to the industry. It'd be great if you started off going into business school first and then going to design, which happens a lot. and you can say things like, well, based on the business plan and what I've learned when I was in business school, blah, blah, blah. Or even better, and happens much more often, is we actually, at least from my school at Art Center, several people came from the medical industry, whether they went to medical school and found out that they didn't like it, or they went to medical school, graduated, became doctors, and just to appease their parents, and then came back to Art Center to do exactly what they want to do, which is design. But they've also have amassed all this knowledge about the medical industry, and they turn up designing for the medical industry, which makes some perfect designers for that industry.
For
me, I like airplanes, I like cars, I like aerodynamics. So designing cars, motorcycles, and products, that's what I like to do. And I have other knowledge because I do it for fun.
Yep. Sort of like what you were saying where, hey, I need to design this watch, but I'm actually going to go look at cars and fashion. Or if I'm going to design a car, I'm going to go look at kitchen accessories and watches, whatever it is. It reminds me of one of my best teachers when I was in school. Basically, this was a game design teacher. And he was like, look, guys, you know, you can be great at documentation and world building and mechanics all day. But the thing is the best designers, the best game designers there are game designers that are knowledgeable in everything.
Right.
If you happen to know psychology and you happen to know architecture, that is going to make you a better game designer.
Right.
And just because I'm talking about a specific field, that doesn't mean that that doesn't apply to you as a graphic designer or an industrial designer or a creative writer. If you're a creative writer, you know, and you're really, and you have a lot of fun making scripts, or maybe you're making short stories or books, you should also know a little bit about color theory or art, because maybe you're going to write a kid's book someday, and you want the kid's book to have writing that pairs well with the art. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So those are sort of things that you need to think about. You need to try to be a little, again, we've talked about this before, but being knowledgeable about different things really is going to help you be better at that one thing you enjoy.
Yeah. Always be learning, honestly. And you know, design is a lifestyle. It's, you need to continue to be sharp, need to continue to have a designer's perspective on everything that you see every day. And that sounds like a lot, but honestly, once you get used to seeing things as a designer, if you're a new designer, or continuing to see things as a designer from a designer's standpoint, as a more experienced designer, then building stuff, designing stuff is a lot easier, and that keeps you on top of your game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I hope you guys enjoyed that, our current podcast for today. We talked about design, the design process. Again, quick announcement is that we will be at the Los Angeles Auto Show between the dates of November 22nd through December 1st. We are right next to Porsche, so come by and say hi to us. If you are in the Los Angeles area, we would love to meet you in person. If you've got any questions that we can answer for you, do visit our website, www.maroonvaultstudio.com. Send us an email with your question and we will answer them in a future podcast. And if you've got some quick questions that I can answer in a couple of sentences, follow me on my Instagram. It is I am Hector Real. That is I-A-M Hector Real. And if I can answer your questions in a couple of sentences in the comment section in DMs, I will. If not, then we will address your question in a future podcast. So this is me. I am Hector Real and Ben Wetzel.
That's me.
And Pornhub signing off.
Good God.